The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "The Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." Then he said to all, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. What profit is there for one to gain the whole world, yet lose or forfeit himself?" The Gospel of the Lord. Okay, that's like the first test of Lent, do you know? We all failed it. No, not all of us. I failed it, and whoever followed me failed it, you know? Don't say the A word, okay? Okay. So, it's an interesting gospel passage that we have to begin Lent. Of course, we have within it the theme of denying ourselves. And, of course, it's going to be a strong theme throughout the season. And let me encourage you there to deny yourself. I know that's perhaps a strange thing to say. But look at ways that you can deny yourself through this season. And then I don't mean, you know, you have to, I don't know, be attentive to it as you go along and every day figure out something new. And before you know it, I don't know, there's nothing. I don't know how to say it. You know, well, don't follow me down that. I've done that before, okay? So don't follow me down that path. It's like taking on a new penance every day and not shedding any of the rest of them, okay? But we do have to be sensitive to the need to deny ourselves. And it's one of those things where we can become complacent in the practices that we've taken on, where so that by our becoming habituated to them, we are no longer denying ourselves. So I want to say in this Lenten season, push out a little bit. I don't know what that means for you. Have to take it on in prayer, because actually this is the driving force of this passage that we have today. This little scene comes right after Jesus has asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Right? Who do they say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Then they say, of course, Peter says, "You're the Messiah. You're the King." And then Jesus gives this: "The Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and the third day be raised." This is not what the disciples would have expected in light of their, you know, coming forward with this declaration that Jesus is God's Messiah. Jesus is God's anointed King. This is not what they expected at all. But we know, because we know Jesus now, some 2,000 years on. We know where this story leads. We know that it goes right through that crucial moment where it goes through the death and resurrection of Jesus. We know what Jesus' project is all about. It's about renewing the face of the earth. And in order to do that, he has to renew human beings. And if Jesus is going to turn the world upside down, as it were, he's going to have to turn us inside out. And this is one of the real important parts of denying ourselves. Because it's something that we don't naturally do, right? Quite the opposite. It doesn't make sense. So what is the good that we perceive in our kind of regular day-to-day that would compel us to go beyond ourselves, that would compel us to deny ourselves and live for something, say, outside of ourselves? What is that but God? What is that but God's plan and purposes? Right? We have to have something that goes beyond our own desire to be satisfied, that goes beyond our own expectations of comfort or pleasure and the like. But quite naturally, if we don't, and that's why I say, push out, be aware of the fact that we have a need to deny ourselves, especially during this season, because if we don't, we'll simply pull everything back to ourselves. We'll just do it. It's what we do. It's what we do very naturally. And we'll become habituated to that again. So it's something we have to be on guard for a good bit. But here, again, in the context of the passage, what's the point? What point does that serve except to live for Jesus the King? except to live for the Messiah. And to live for the Messiah, live for Jesus the King as he reveals himself to us, and for the plan and purpose that he reveals to us, and to walk the way with him that he reveals to us. And that way is other-centeredness. That way, first and foremost, that way is God-centeredness. Our whole heart and soul and mind and strength, everything has to be focused squarely on God and his purposes. And when he achieves that focus in us, because we don't achieve that by ourselves. When Jesus achieves that God-centered focus in us, then we find ourselves being other-centered in the sense of all the people that God entrusts to our care. All the many ways that God calls us to embody his love. But that way is a way of self-denial, because we always otherwise look to pull back. We meet the demands of love, right? It's like, I'm sure you have this experience. The demands of love are revealed to you, and then you hit the wall, and you go, I don't want to do, it's like, I can't do that, but it's not I can't. It's I don't want to, right? But it's, I can't meet those demands. And then what's our inclination? Is to pull back. You don't keep running into the wall, right? Pull back. But what's Jesus' answer to it? You die. You die, and then you rise with him. You die with him, and you rise with him. So you die to yourself, and you rise with him to new life, live totally for God. And this is the kind of like the purification process of Christian life. We die and rise. We die and rise. So it's not like we're on this, you know, this even trajectory where, you know, we're launching out into eternity. Oh, this is so beautiful and wonderful. It is beautiful and wonderful, but it's beautiful and wonderful the Jesus way, which is death and resurrection. And we have to trust him enough to follow him there, and to allow him, and when we meet our limits, surrender more. Give ourselves over to him all the more. That's where the power of his life and love is going to take root even deeper still in us, and flourish more abundantly than probably we can ask for or imagine.